welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope at beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And wow, am I excited. I am so excited because I have the pastor, Father Augustine Pugner, a very good friend, a Norbertine, the pastor of St. John the Baptist Parish in Costa Mesa. Welcome back to the show, Father.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be back. Always good to be with you. And thank you for that excitement. We are, yes, so excited to be here together and to talk about faith and the Holy Spirit and all the beautiful ways in which God is keeping us strong.
And faith in today's world is just so important. My brothers and sisters, it's so important to understand what is faith. And we see this in 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet not realized. It is so important that we realize that faith is a gift and that God wants to give us faith, but we must ask for it and we must seek it and we must want it. Your thoughts about faith and how do we get more faith, Father?
Amen. Well, faith is a gift from God, first and foremost. It's so far beyond just, you know, human intellectual power, although it's compatible, obviously, and it really perfects our human intellectual power. But it's so far beyond. It's so other than just, you know, studying and memorizing facts and knowing, like, the truths of the world through human reason with certainty. It's a whole nother level of knowledge. And God gives us that gift of faith so that we can know the great mysteries of God and know them to be certain and true. I think that's such a big part of, you know, the struggle that we're having in today's world. And it's kind of always been that way, but especially now. Our faith is being put to the test. No doubt. Let's just start with that. And we need to be strong and we need to know how it is. You ask, how do we grow in our faith? Well, you practice your faith, you make acts of faith, and you pray for that gift.
Amen.
Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Amen. And that's one of the most powerful prayers that there is.
Amen.
Help my unbelief. I mean, help me love as you love, Father. Lord Jesus Christ, help me to love. Help me to have greater faith. Help me to have greater hope. And so many times right now in the midst of these trials, people are feeling just broken. They're feeling numb. And they don't feel like that there's hope in the future and that good things are happening. But those are lies from the enemy. And we have this constant spiritual battle in which the enemy wants to just put us down.
Amen.
And we've got to ask for more faith and ask for more of the Lord in our lives.
Amen. You know, and God has provided us through revelation, through the Word of God, through the tradition and teachings of the church. God has provided us with all the many answers that we need for life's most difficult problems. Now, you know, there are still things that we struggle with. There are still things that are discussed. And, you know, theological reflection over the 2,000 years has opened up that Word of God and revelation in a more complete and full way. And every age with its own challenges and difficulties and moral questions applies that Word of God to those particular modern day situations, you could say. But the faith delivered once for all to the apostles, to the saints, to the early church through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that is the faith that we rely on. That's the faith that gives us confidence that, you know, when we struggle and when we see around us, especially in our times right now, so many different voices, so many different opinions, so many different reports, so many different news, you know, channels. It's so confusing. It's so confusing. And that's where faith allows us the ability with God's grace to kind of just, you know, cut through all that, all the different, you know, voices and opinions and ideas and all the things. And we just keep clear notice and awareness of the teachings of Jesus because they have just been and will continue to be until he comes again. They are the inspiration. They are the source of our peace and our security with how we live our lives, the decisions we make.
And my brothers and sisters, again, read the 11th chapter of Hebrews And 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith, and he will reward those who believe in him, to believe he exists. How do we get more faith? We ask for it. We seek it. And this is, again, Matthew 5:6, one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is doing God's will. And then they will be satisfied. Then they will be filled. This moment in our history, I'm a little bit older than you, but let's just say within our lifetimes, at least from my perspective, this is the greatest challenge that I think I've ever experienced, and a challenge in which we need more faith than ever.
Amen. And, you know, one of the great supports that we have, and especially now that, like, sort of we've reopened the churches, praise God, thank you,
praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Is that we see that, you know, for an individual's faith to be strong and certain and sure and active, you know, faith working through love, you need the support of a community. You know, none of us can do it alone. And we were isolated for those 3 months, you know, and it was so difficult because I know, and I spoke in my ministry to a number of people that were, you know, homebound. They, you know, they missed coming to church. They missed receiving Jesus in Holy Communion. They missed the community because their faith seemed to be weakening without the support of a community of believers. You know, it starts in, you know, at home. The family is a community of believers. But and that was great because, you know, one of the blessings of the situation was that families were, you know, spending some more time together.
I met my wife, you know, 49 years this year.
Oh, I love that.
But, you know, for the first time, I think I spent more time with her than the last 5 years, I think, put together.
Well, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
But for the wider community, for a parish and, of course, for the universal church in general, it was a real trial of faith because we did not have that constant support. Communal worship, receiving the sacraments regularly, and just the presence of like-minded believers. Those who, you know, you rely on like every Sunday and some every day. They go to the church or they're in a ministry group or they're in a Bible study or whatever it may be. There's that constant support that we have in a community of faith, of people who share our beliefs, who allow those beliefs to guide their lives. It's the same for us. And we suffered a lot without that. And now I'm praying, obviously, that, you know, we can, you know, maintain that, keep that strong. And since, you know, people have been coming back to church, a number of people have remarked to me, Father, that it's like now their faith is stronger. You know, they've made it through the trial. They've made it through the darkness.
Amen.
And they are even more appreciative of what the church offers them, the Word of God, the grace of the sacraments, and a community of believers. It's just so, it was so wonderful that first Sunday, like when people were back together,
just to
see each other and to say hello and how are you doing, and especially to pray to God together. That's one of the most important ways in which we strengthen our own individual faith. It's part of that community.
As you take a look at Acts 2, the communal life, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and the communal life, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together, temple area, breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation, sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. I believe more than ever, God is calling us to a new level of holiness. It cannot continue to be, my brothers and sisters, status quo, because we are not in a status quo world. We are under siege right now. We're under siege with so many different things. I don't even have to list them. You know what they are. You're experiencing them every single day. But God is saying where there is great challenge, great evil, great trials, there is great grace. And we have to say, I want that grace, unmerited favor. I want to be holier, but I want to strive for it. Your thoughts on that, Father?
Absolutely. You know, and it's been that way since the beginning of the church. This is why, you know, read the Acts of the Apostles.
Exactly.
It's all right there. And you think about, you know, the strength of faith required by that first generation of Christians.
Oh, no question.
Unbelievable. I mean, they faced open persecution all the time, martyrdom, all of that. I mean, they were, you know, basically like the underground church, right? And they still found in the inspiration that Jesus and God's word provided for them a tremendous strength. But they did have to stay together. They did have to, you know, bond together in that life of faith, hope and love as well. But we need that now. And I totally agree when you say, you know, it can't be status quo. I mean, you know, every generation of Catholics, you know, hopefully responds to that call to say, you know, you need to be holy and you need to build the kingdom of God here on earth and you need to support and contribute to the mission of the church using your gifts and talents. When we really believe the responsibility and the privilege that that is, then, you know, we're all going to be inspired to do more than usual, right? Status quo is not enough. It never was. It wasn't enough to sustain the early church. They had to constantly be striving, as you say, greater holiness, greater fidelity to God, a greater missionary spirit, evangelize, spread the good word, give a good example, encourage others. And that's, gosh, so important in these difficult times. So important that we find in our faith and in the community of faith the encouragement, because people are discouraged. We know that. It's been a really difficult stretch. People are giving into all kinds of doubts and even despair, and we got to pray that, you know, the Spirit will keep them strong.
My brothers and sisters, this may be the time for you to step out to begin that ministry. This may be the time for you to write that book, to do something that God has been whispering in your ear, but for whatever reason, I've been too busy, I can't do it. Maybe now is the time for you to say yes, because that is what is required right now, is that yes. That, you know, I love, for example, the third chapter of Revelation, the church of the Laodicea, I wish you were either cold or hot, but because you're neither hot or cold, I spit you out of my mouth. So the point is that we've got to make a stand and say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you no matter what the cost. And now is a great time for that unconditional yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Lord is asking us in our day, like he asked several people throughout the Gospels, and especially like when he was offered the opportunity to do like a miracle of healing. Do you believe I can do this?
Amen.
Do you believe I can do this? And I've been thinking about that, you know, and just praying about that, especially in regard to, you know, preparing for our conversation today about faith. And that is the critical question. And now we face it in terms of, you know, global pandemic and all of its consequences and all of the various, you know, ways in which, yeah, we can be given to a certain, you know, discouragement and confusion. But Jesus, through all of that, he has never stopped asking us that question. But do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can bring you healing and strength? Do you believe that I can still guide the church and your family and your community through these difficult times to a place of peace and holiness and joy? And we have to absolutely, you know, believe in the answer to that question and perhaps just, you know, make that act of faith every day. Yes, Lord, I do. I believe. I believe in you. I believe in your word. I believe in your grace. I believe in the power that you still exercise in this world, even with all its darkness and sin and all the difficulties that we face and certainly will continue to face. As you say, you know, we're in a spiritual warfare. We've talked about that before. It's a spiritual battle for sure. And yet, you know, God still asks us to humbly respond to that question. Do you believe I can do this? And of course, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
My brothers and sisters, do you believe, my brothers and sisters, how big is your God? We're going to be right back to talk more about faith, not fear, having greater faith, and how your saying yes to Jesus will transform your life. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back. We're going through challenging times without a doubt, and that's certainly true for ministries and nonprofits. The Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we use our funds to feed the poor, to evangelize, to market in the sense of spreading communication about Jesus Christ to those that really are hungry to hear God's word. Please donate to us. Go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. Look under the donate button and donate any amount. We're also looking for those who want to be partners. Partners are someone that will donate on a monthly basis a certain amount of money, and we'll take any amount of money on a monthly basis. So you can contact us, drop us a note, and we'll give you a call and set you up to be a monthly donor. When you are generous, God is even more generous without a shadow of a doubt, as it says in Scripture that God loves a cheerful giver. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Steve Greco with Augustine, Father Augustine Pugner, who is the pastor of St. John the Baptist in Costa Mesa, a dear, dear friend and someone who is an inspiration to all who know him.
Oh.
And he is an amazing man. I do want to get into your story before we go back to talking about how big is our God and so forth, because you grew up in Wisconsin, I believe.
I did. Milwaukee.
Cheesehead. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All of it. Yeah.
And early on, you were cradle Catholic, correct?
I was, yep.
Cradle Catholic, but not necessarily thinking about becoming a priest when you were younger?
It came and went.
Kind of came and went. Yeah. You were not wild, but there was a little bit.
Yeah, there was a time there. Yeah, there was a time.
A guitar and everything.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, you know, college years.
Long hair?
You know, I did.
Long hair. Okay.
Yes. I won't show you the pictures.
Yeah, but
although some have seen them.
You know, some people believe, my brothers and sisters, that, well, God can't be calling me, you know, because look at what I've done and so forth. And, you know, this show, Empowered by the Spirit, is all about supporting vocations. Amen. And, you know, I want to talk about that for a second, the calling, you know. Some people think, oh, I'm not worthy. I remember I thought I wasn't worthy. I still think I'm not worthy, you know, but to be a deacon and so forth. And yet, God is saying, all I want is for you to say yes to me. But your thoughts about that, calling.
Absolutely. It's one of the most beautiful mysteries in any person's life, you know, for whatever the calling may be. Vocation of the priesthood and religious life, obviously, is a special mystery, gift and mystery, right? St. John Paul II, that's how he described his own reflection on his vocation, a gift and a mystery. None of us are worthy. And, you know, we just ordained 4 new priests for the Abbey community.
Yeah.
So 4 new Norbertine priests.
Oh, it's so exciting.
June 27th, they were ordained. And, of course, every time I attend an ordination, you're reminded of your own. It's like you relive it again. Yes. It's a really beautiful moment spiritually for every priest. And there is, you know, before the ordination ceremony, there's the interrogation, right, where the bishop asks, you know, do you find them worthy? And in our case, the abbot or whoever is responsible superior says, you know, after inquiring among the people of God and those responsible for their formation, we declare them to be worthy. And everyone goes, thanks be to God. And but are they really, I mean, as a human person? Well, yes and no. Right. Obviously, we're all sinners. But that's the beauty of it. God calls sinners to become great saints.
Look at Peter. Look
absolutely
at Paul.
Oh, the
look
examples,
at on
the
and on,
long,
right?
long list.
Long
on
list.
And on and on, on
yeah,
and on.
Yeah.
So the worthiness comes from the openness and the, you know, the decision to say yes to God.
The surrender.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's so important in other relationships in life. You know, when you really surrender to being a faithful and loving spouse, you're all in. You're all in. You've made that decision. It just, you know, in any kind of, even in friendship, right? You just say, I'm going to go, you know, completely into this relationship. I'm going to give myself. And that yes to a relationship, and especially now a yes to a vocation to God, brings such tremendous peace and blessings.
And for so many people, they think that it all has to be instantaneous. But if you feel that nudge, start to walk forward. Because I know for me, it was like, I really wasn't sure I wanted to be a deacon. And early on, I even was called in the office, Deacon Frank Chavez, God bless him.
Yes.
What a wonderful man. I didn't fill out the application with a great deal of forethought.
Oh.
He called me in and he asked me, he said, well, tell me about that. And I said, well, I'm just not sure. But every single day I'm getting more sure. Every single day I feel that tug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big message for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's not like, For some people, a switch goes off, but for a lot of people, it's maybe a little bit more gradual. You thought about that.
Yeah. Well, I worked in vocation ministry for 12 years as a novice master at the Abbey, and I did assistant for our vocation recruiting. And yeah, the mystery of everyone's religious vocation still comes down to that yes to God. And no matter what your background is, no matter what your past history is, whatever, you know, obviously God and his mercy heals all those things, forgives our sins. And, you know, when you know, when you feel in your heart that God has placed you on this very particular and beautiful path. Yeah. The question for me in my own journey was, well, I have to try. I wasn't absolutely certain.
Exactly.
When I started to discern and when I started, you know, making come and see visits to various communities and talking to good priests who advised me, I wasn't sure, but I knew I had to take that first step.
Exactly.
And the first step is sometimes the hardest.
Exactly.
But the first step, as with many things on our spiritual journey, is the first door being open, and then you see a path before you that you continue down, right? There are other, you know, decisions and other moments of discernment, and other times as you go down that road that you are continually saying yes to God in a new way.
My brothers and sisters, one of the prayers that God has put in my heart over the years is, Lord Jesus, Father, Heavenly Father, open the door that only you can open and close the door that only you can close. Yeah.
Beautiful prayer.
Right?
Very important.
And, so just pray that prayer, my brothers and sisters. Some of you right now are really being nudged to go into some sort of religious life, some sort of vocation, or even as a layperson to become more involved in a certain ministry. Just say yes to the Lord to open the door that only He can open or close the door that only He can close. So you got that nudge, you went ahead, and you looked at various orders, I believe. Mm-hmm. And why did you choose the Norbertines? We love the Norbertines.
Hey,
Spiritful
right.
Hearts loves the Norbertines. Empowered by the Spirit, we love the Norbertines. We can't say it enough. Some of you, this show hits a lot of different places, and some of you may not be familiar with the Norbertines, so tell us about it.
St. Michael's Abbey, Silverado, California. Yes, my spiritual home for 30 years. Amazing. Well, I did visit several communities, in fact, throughout the U.S., East Coast, Midwest, and here in California. And for me, it was the lifestyle that the Norbertines lived in all of its elements, its beautiful liturgy, its traditional elements of religious life, its, you know, commitment to the teachings of the church. And especially when I made my visit, it was the people. It was the men. It was the men I met. And
so much love.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Yeah. And at that point, this was early 1990, I made my come and see visit. And the Abbey was experiencing its first real growth spurt.
Mm.
And we had like 30 seminarians.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was twice as many as ordained priests at that time. Mm. You know, so, and the men I met and their joy and their fidelity to the church and their community and the love that they experienced and shared each and every day, it was just remarkable. There were so many things about the community itself that I felt very, very comfortable and called there. And I remember, like, after my first full day, I was pretty much convinced.
So what is the charisms of the Norbertine order?
Well, it's, you know, that word charism is kind of a modern term.
Okay.
that you know, it didn't exist in St. Norbert's time, right? So, like, nobody asked.
Or focus,
right,
or
exactly.
Emphasis.
No, you know, but our life is patterned on what we call the apostolic life. That is a community of priests living in community and very much living a monastic life. In terms of our, you know, daily schedule, the amount of prayer that we do in common in the Abbey Church, we have our meals together, we recreate together, we do a lot of things together. It's like, so we kind of live like monks, right? And Some people just see our habit and they say, are you a monk? And I say, well, technically, no, but I certainly live like one. And St. Norbert's vision, as he understood the apostolic life, and one of his inspirations was St. Augustine, who tried to, and in fact, effectively brought this way of life to his own diocese, is that he wanted his priests to live together in community and then go out and do their ministry. Now, in St. Norbert's time, that was a revolution. I mean, really, you had the monastic communities, the Benedictines and the others, and, you know, they didn't go out that much. The people came to them.
Exactly.
For their spiritual enrichment.
Exactly.
And St. Norbert had this vision that he wanted a community of men who would live like monks, but go out and exercise ministry, kind of like, you know, parish priests.
Right.
And that's common now. Most modern congregations have that sort of, you know, mentality and lifestyle. But it was, you know, St. Norbert was really the first to take that step. And you know, the pillars of our spirituality, our love for the Eucharist and the Mass, our love for the sacred liturgy, our love for Our Lady, our love for our common life, a spirit of penance and asceticism, those things are all, they're like built into our life. And, you know, when I visited the Abbey, they had like a one page, this was, of course, before the internet and anything like that, so they had a flyer, right, like a little brochure.
Sure.
There's a place for you at St. Michael's if... dot, dot, dot. And then they had like 12 like essential truths of St. Michael's Abbey. And like everyone, I was like, yes, 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 yes. And but the thing that really God drew me to the Abbey was that it was more than just words on paper. I mean, I got a lot of brochures when I was discerning. because, like, you know, you could send out information. But my time at the Abbey very much convinced me that these men lived the ideal that they put down on paper. There was total integrity. There was total authenticity. It didn't just sound good on their brochure. These men lived the life.
And one of the things that you said is one of my favorite sayings, and that's all in. My experience with Norbertine priests and sisters also, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that they're all in. I'm not saying others are not, but the Norbertine order is all in. And some of you may be feeling that tug right now to find out more about them. And how would they find out more about them?
They can contact Father Ambrose at the Abbey or Father Vianney. The two priests, and if you call the Abbey, contact the Abbey.
Do you know the website or the email?
Let's see, stmichaelsabbey.com, I think.
Yeah, .com or .org.
Okay. Yeah, so, and there'll be, a section for vocation inquiries.
Right.
And then that will direct your email to Father Ambrose or Father Vianney. Yeah, the best thing, obviously, is continuing to pray, obviously, for all of you who are discerning, and to continue to trust. I mean, really, if you feel God is calling you, give it a try. Give God a chance.
Amen.
Because, you know, the answer may be no. In my time as novice master at the Abbey, we had, of course, a number of guys that came and discerned and left, and they're either happily married or some have become priests in other situations. Fine, but they discerned.
And it's a journey, and that was part of their journey.
Absolutely, yeah.
That was part of their journey. Now, the Norbertine priests look different than diocesan priests
Tell us about that. So our religious habit goes back to the original inspiration and founding of our order. The beautiful tradition is that St. Norbert, when he was founding the order, which, by the way, he never, like, intended to do. He was just, you know, a holy priest who wanted, he was living a sort of radically sort of ascetic life, wandering around preaching through most of Northern Europe. And then it was finally a very holy and good bishop who noticed a special gift in him and said, you know what? You should settle down and maybe gather a community around you.
Wow.
So, and Norbert spent the night in prayer at a little chapel, of course, in the Valley of Premontre, which is where we get our name, which is where we were founded. And he received a vision of Our Lady giving him the white habit. So that's sort of where, you know, the color white. And it was, you know, undyed wool. It was kind of a, you know, in those days, it was a very, very simple penitential garment.
Interesting. And there's a new... monastery.
Unbelievable.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's under construction and it's coming along very, very well. We're scheduled to complete the construction around late October, and it's going to be beautiful. You know, Romanesque monastery, beautiful church, and it will include the church and then, of course, the cloister, the residence area for all the priests and seminarians. It'll have like a public wing, which will have, rooms for conferences and retreats and some guest rooms, a new convent for the Dominican sisters who live and work with us at the Abbey. The complex is just really a beautiful, stunning. And we're still on schedule for a kind of a grand opening in the end of January 2021.
I can't wait to be
there. It's going to be beautiful, yeah.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about faith in today's world. We'll be right back. My brothers and sisters, I have something very exciting in addition to what we've talked about to talk to you about. And that is a new book that I've written called Be Not Afraid. I was so motivated by the Lord to write this book as the coronavirus, the COVID-19 was breaking, to give people hope, to give people faith. As scripture says, perfect love drives out all fear. Now, what is our program on Be Not Afraid? We are soliciting donors that will help us. We are really discounting it tremendously because we want to give these out for free. The book is discounted from $15 to $5 a book with a minimum order of 100 books. And if you order 100 books, you can give them out to your friends. You can give them out to various ministries that you're part of. And we're hoping the entire parish will adopt it. You can see it online right now on Kindle, Amazon. We have a Kindle book, Be Not Afraid, you could take a look at if you want to read the content. But this is a book that we really want parishes to adopt because people need hope right now and they need tools on how not to be afraid. So please contact us at Deacon Steve at spiritfulhearts.org. Go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org, and find a way of supporting us. And please thank you in advance for supporting us in prayer. Thank you in advance for supporting us financially and to having a gift given to your parish. God bless you all. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Steve Greco and Father Augustine Pugner, who is the pastor at St. John the Baptist Church in Costa Mesa, Norbertine. We're talking about the Norbertine Order. Please, if you feel that nudge towards religious life at all, or just enhancing where you are as a layperson, please say yes to it. And so you said yes, you went into the Norbertine Order. You've done some amazing things, like you say, you know, 12 years heading up.
Yes.
Vocations, mm-hmm. which yeah. is amazing. Mm-hmm. Now you're doing, and it's hard to believe where the time goes. You've been a pastor now for how many years?
9 years.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
It seems like yesterday.
I know. Yeah.
It's incredible. Yes. And what an amazing, amazing place. You've got to go to St. John the Baptist Church in Costa Mesa
if you're
in the area at all.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it is just, the masses are amazing. Tell us about the altar, too. The altar is worth seeing as well as the chapel. And tell us about that.
Sure. So, the Norbertines came for full-time care and ministry of the parish in 2002. So before that, it was staffed by diocesan priests, of course, as most parishes are. So in 2002, the first group of Norbertines, and there were four, came and took up residence in the rectory and full-time ministry there at the parish. And at that point, the church had been raising money for a new church, because the original church was not meant to be the permanent church. You know, it was built at that time, like in the late 50s, early 60s, where it's basically was like a multi-purpose. It was kind of going to be the parish hall. It was never meant to be the permanent church, but it just, you know, it always served well as the church. But it was certainly in need of renovation and beautification and things like that. So the Norbertines, when we arrived, reevaluated the situation of where we are in terms of the fundraising, and do we want to build a whole new church? That'll take a long time. Or do we want to make this facility beautiful? And I think after, you know, consultation and certain designs were presented to the parish community, and this was, you know, before I was there, but I do know the history. The decision was made that, you know, with the money that the community had already raised and just, you know, a little bit more in terms of a loan, they could make that existing facility beautiful.
And they have.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. Yeah, they went with a design company from Spain, which has done other work here in the diocese, and completely redid the inside. Completely gutted, top to bottom, side to side, every inch.
Could you describe what it looks like for our listening?
Right. So now the back wall of the sanctuary is a beautiful 3D retablo, like a relief. And it's the image of St. John the Baptist pointing his finger towards Jesus alongside the Jordan River, with a number of disciples there in the panorama.
It's
in the scene.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's the Behold the Lamb of God moment for St. John the Baptist, right, our parish patron, and then Jesus. And then tabernacle in the center of the sanctuary, they're really beautiful. And sort of the retablo and the tabernacle are just a really beautiful and colorful focal point. And it's very, you know, colorful and warm. That's one thing people, you know, when they come in the church, the design and the execution was really beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you feel the Holy Spirit
in such a powerful way.
Yeah.
So, and then the altar was redone on a raised platform. And so it's just a really beautiful sanctuary. And because even at the parish, in the parish church, we as Norbertines, we pray the Divine Office, the Liturgy of the Hours, and we do it in common with the people for morning prayer and evening prayer. And so there are like choir stalls. There are like the special pews that the priests sit in that face each other on either side of the sanctuary. That's kind of a unique feature. Most parish churches, of course, aren't staffed by religious communities that need those choir stalls when they sing the Liturgy of the Hours. But we have that. And then we have beautiful, it's closed for now. And, you know, that's just because of the COVID situation. But 24-hour adoration. And of course, we're waiting for the right moment to reopen the Adoration Chapel, which again, very beautifully decorated.
Tell us about that monstrance. It's just amazing.
Yes. So monstrance was designed by our very own priest, Father Godfrey, based on a Doré illustration of the choirs of angels circling around Jesus and God.
It takes your breath away, my brothers and sisters.
Right. So the permanent monstrance for the Adoration Chapel is a large host that's surrounded by this gold sculpture of the choirs of angels circling in adoration. And it's really beautiful. And then, of course, you know, there's the marble back wall and the hanging candles. And again, it's a really beautiful space to pray.
It is an amazing, amazing parish with amazing pastor, and God is blessing it in such a powerful way. And I have been so blessed to get to know you because your first assignment was St. Elizabeth Ensign.
That is true. And I have many, many fond memories of my time there helping out on Sundays at St. Elizabeth Ensign.
And you were always encouraging too. And that's one of the things, you know, I would give a homily and you would make a comment, positive comment about it. Mm-hmm. And it just meant so much to me. And you've been encouraging our ministry, which we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Spirit-filled hearts. And I've written 7 books, but the last one was written in the beginning of March as the pandemic was happening, Be Not Afraid, and you were kind enough to write the foreword to this rather small book of 116 pages, but I think very powerful book. And what we've done is we've allowed parishes such as your parish and Santiago de Compostela so far to hand them out to their parishioners. We're helping out with some donations and so forth. And it's made a big difference. And tell us about why this is such an important book, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Be Not Afraid, and in the midst of this pandemic, and kind of what the response has been.
Sure, sure. Well, getting back to the theme of today's conversation, faith over fear. And the book is a beautiful, beautiful reflection, Steve, and scripture on every page. I mean, it really is. You know, your knowledge and love for scripture just comes forth because it really is. It's all of the beautiful words of Jesus and other, you know, especially the New Testament words in the epistles that just give us that encouragement not to be afraid. And in the current crisis, that has been a real challenge for many people. There is fear, there is anxiety, and it's justified, obviously, for those who are sick or have experienced illness in their families or close friends. Yeah, there's a fear for sure. But the book so beautifully explains to all of us that we need to live our lives still guided by faith and not the fear. And that this is the constant message of the Word of God, to not be afraid, to face your fears with the confidence and trust that faith gives us. And in every way, you know, the book from each chapter and each theme is a beautiful call to renew one's faith, a call to renew one's courage. It's a call to the spiritual battle, a call to conversion, even, you know, a very complete and really beautiful treatment. Yes, we've been really blessed. So we've been giving away copies as gifts to the parishioners for a number of weeks now. And the response has been good. People really have enjoyed the book and have asked, you know, can I get another copy? Sure. Yeah, we've got plenty. So, and because they're giving it to friends.
Right. Exactly.
And they're giving it to family, and they're sending it to people back in, you know, the Midwest or wherever they are. The book is literally like going all over the U.S. now. And for the ways in which people have expressed their gratitude, it spoke to their heart. It like just spoke to like exactly what they were experiencing. And they were the words of encouragement that they really, really needed. And that's why the book has been such a gift to everybody who's read it and people. And again, it's, you know, it's not long. It's very easily, to get through and inspiring. So it was really a really beautiful gift.
So if you want to receive one, obviously you can go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org, to get an individual copy. And we do ask, obviously, for a donation for that one copy. But we will work with you to give them out to your parishioners in bulk order. Obviously, it makes a huge difference. So contact us at spiritfilledhearts.org or Deacon Steve at spiritfilledhearts.org. And we will work with you because I believe, you know, it's one of those things, Father, where God just took me over and said, I want you to write this book. I want you to write it now, you know, early March. And so we are so moved, and it's hard to explain, but we feel that fire that we want many parishes to experience this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is so, so important. So again, contact us at spiritfulhearts.org. A beautiful foreword by Father Augustine. And again, the book will really gladden your heart, because right now we need even more tools, even go deeper into Scripture, deeper into reading, deeper into sacraments, more now than ever before. And tell us about, again, prayer, because in order to have faith, we have to practice faith mm-hmm. as it relates to growing in prayer. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on that?
Well, of course, you know, the importance of prayer in the words of Jesus and throughout, you know, the Word of God is, again, just so strongly emphasized. And in my own life, obviously, you know, I really learned how to pray, you know, early on. Thanks be to my, you know, good parents and the sisters who taught me at our school and the priests that you know, were with us too. So, but that's just, you know, kind of the foundation. Then when I joined the Abbey, you know, your whole life is basically founded upon prayer.
Right.
And then you really, you know, you realize how important it is.
Is it 7 times that you
could... 7 times a day. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then in my ministry, obviously, and every active priest will tell you this, you know, without prayer, the work is not meaningless, but the work just will not bear fruit as it is intended to. And every priest knows that. They have to first be and continue to be a man of prayer and have a relationship with God, which allows them to experience those beautiful moments of intimate communication with God, not just officially through the church's official prayers and liturgy, but personal prayer, spiritual reading, Lectio Divina, meditation. You have to constantly be nourishing your soul through prayer, because you can't give what you don't have. If you don't have a really strong and powerful and meaningful relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you won't be able to give that with the same conviction and the same effect, right? You look at the history of the church, you know, all the great priests and religious, they all had expressed that, you know, it all begins with that life of prayer and that life of an intimate relationship and conversation with God, which brings you a certain peace in your own life and gives you that strength to preach the truth, preach the gospel, minister to others with joy in your heart, with a spirit of encouragement and cheerfulness. And I mean, we need all those things, especially now, you know.
Last fall, the diocese, Bishop Kevin Vann, through prayer and so forth and discernment, came up with a rolling 12 months. I believe it started November 1st mm-hmm. For the year of prayer.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a book, Miracles Through Prayer, which actually came out right before this book. And I have not been able to distribute it, but it's a very comprehensive book in which Bishop Vann actually wrote the foreword mm-hmm. to it. And it's kind of interesting that we would come out here in this Diocese of Orange on the year of prayer at the time when we've needed it the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your thoughts on that, because, yeah. you know, more than ever, we need to understand prayer and understand what it is. And mm-hmm. I'm actually going to come back right after a break and talk about prayer right now. And what is it? How can I get closer to Christ, really have that personal relationship? How can I get that union, that intimacy with Jesus? Mm-hmm. We're going to hear the answer to that from Father Augustine Pugner, when we come right back. To Deacon Steve Greco, you're on Empowered by the Spirit.
Hey friends, have you had the chance to check out our Empowered by the Spirit Patreon page yet? You're probably wondering, what is that? And what is Patreon? Well, it's a website and kind of a centralized hub of all the happenings and goings-on with Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. Like radio shows with your favorite guest, live conference talks on Catholic faith and spirituality, dynamic videos you can't find anywhere else, and coming very soon, audiobooks and a lot more. Simply go online to patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. Come visit today to see and hear what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Empowered by the Spirit, Deacon Steve Greco with Father Augustine Pugner, who is the pastor of St. John the Baptist church in Costa Mesa, a Norbertine, someone who is a dear, dear friend, and wrote the foreword of our book, Be Not Afraid. Again, you can get this book talking about faith, which is the subject of this show, Faith in Today's World. Not fear, because the devil wants us to be paralyzed. Yeah. And fear stands for false evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. The devil wants us to have fear about the future, about our finances, about our health, about this, that, whatever. But as it says in 1 John, perfect love drives out all fear. Mm-hmm. With God's love and with faith, it's so important. Now, think about it. You want to exercise, you want to be trim, you want to do all these things and run your 10K or run your marathon, whatever. Do you not have to practice? Do you not have to work up to it? Do you have not have to do what it takes in order to get into shape, and no matter what you want to do physically? Well, there's a spiritual need to get into shape.
Amen.
And we call that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us more about what is prayer? How does that enhance our faith?
Mm-hmm.
And for most people, it's this whole thing of like, well, you know, I try and 1 minute later, I'm thinking about the groceries. I'm thinking about my bills.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about I have all the distractions.
Yeah.
So tell us about how do we enhance our prayer life?
Yeah. Well, first, I love the old image of the spiritual workout.
Yes.
I think that's really good because, I mean, I know a lot of people in our culture really sort of, you know, pushes the whole thing about physical.
Right.
And even emotional, you know, wellness. You got to work out. You know, if you don't put in the work, you're never you're never going to get the results.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, if that's true for your body and like emotionally, I mean, how much more true is it for your soul?
Amen.
So let's begin with that. Like, it's such a beautiful image, like the spiritual workout. Yes, and prayer is one of those, we call it like a spiritual exercise. In fact, we refer to the spiritual exercises, not just the ones like officially from St. Ignatius of Loyola, but like prayer and all the other things that help exercise our faith and make us strong. Prayer is one of the most basic and essential spiritual exercises, part of that workout. You know, prayer it's a number of different things. A number of saints have described it in many beautiful ways. You know, it's a conversation, communication with God. That is, you know, the one by whom we know we are loved. Again, an intimate way in which we approach our loving Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Prayer is a surge of the heart. St. Therese of Lisieux used to say that. Prayer is, you know, again, so many different things in terms of a personal experience, but those basics are the same. And, you know, communication with God is itself an act of faith and strengthens your faith, right? But sometimes, you know, people struggle with just, you know, believing in God, right? And then just the further, you know, aspect of, well, but, and does he listen to me?
Exactly.
Does he care for me? I don't, you know, how do I know? Well, your prayer allows us like that regular communication, which keeps us always aware of God's, you know, existence and his love and his presence in our life. If you never communicate with anybody, yeah, obviously, you know, their presence in your life will, you know, disappear.
Think about those you're friends with, your closest friends, right?
Yeah.
You have to communicate. You have to have a relationship of give and take.
Yeah.
Father, one of the things that I constantly hear is people say things like, but I never really hear God. Mm-hmm. I don't hear God speak to me. I don't.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
And that's okay. Because, I mean, very few people actually hear God's voice in prayer. And that's not the criteria for success or for effectiveness in your prayer. It really is, again, rather than just sort of listening and trying to hear a voice, God speaks to us in many other ways.
Right.
In the inspiration just to live a good and holy life, that's like, you know, first and foremost, are you growing in holiness? Are you growing in virtue? Are you struggling against sin and temptation? Are you trying your best each and every day to embrace the day as a gift from God and do your best to glorify him through the goodness of your life? God is constantly speaking in these ways of just inspiring us to be that better person as faith is guiding us. So prayer in so many ways, you know, there are, you know, different ways to pray, right? There are prayer of praise, prayer of gratitude, which is just such a beautiful one. And for some people who really struggle with, you know, some of the other aspects of, you know, well, you know, what do I say? What do I pray about? You know, they're basically either going to ask for something that they want or need, the prayer of petition, which is fine. Or for some, in my advice and counsel to them, I said, well, let's start with the things that you can be thankful for.
Amen.
Especially, you know, in tough times. You know, when people are discouraged, it's like, you know, why does God allow all these bad things in the world and in my life or in my family? Or, you know, why did he allow this virus and all these things? Those are questions which, you know, that we don't have, you know, immediate easy answers to. But we don't need those answers when we have the answer about, well, but let's pray to God in a spirit of faith that allows you to see the good things in your life and to give thanks to God for those things. Right.
So one of the things that we strongly recommend at Spirit-Filled Hearts and Empowered by the Spirit is to make a list of what you're thankful for mm-hmm. and to carry that list with you mm-hmm. in your purse or somewhere in your car, but to read it every single day slowly mm-hmm. and to read it and say, Lord, I'm thank you. I thank you for Father Augustine. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful that he's in my life. I'm thankful for this radio show. I'm thankful for my spouse, and on and on and on mm-hmm. and on.
Yeah.
And think about all the things that you're thankful for and thank God and praise him and just say, Lord, I praise you for being my Savior, my Redeemer. I praise you. And there is a Catholic litany of praise that we very strongly support. There's so many Catholic prayers that we're blessed with that we can have through a prayer book and so forth that we can get that really helps on our prayer life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we all begin, you know, as children, if you grow up Catholic, obviously, you learn memorized prayers, right? You learn the basics and you memorize them and you pray them like with your family at night or, you know, before meals or in the morning, whatever that may be. And that's again, the first like elementary experience of communicating with God. And that, you know, foundation is then built upon as you mature in your faith, obviously, and into adult life. And then, but that early foundation, you know, the faith with which children pray is a really beautiful thing. And Jesus even Amen. Said, you know, the kingdom belongs to such as these.
The honesty.
Yeah,
right?
They're praying with complete innocence and trust
right.
in God.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, adult life challenges that and can even take it away if we allow that to happen.
Now for me, there was some experiences in my life that really changed my life. And one of them was when I went to a church during the middle of the day. I was having challenges at home, challenges with three teenagers, didn't know what to do. There was no one in the church at the time. And for the first time, because I didn't grow up with this devotion, I felt God's presence. I felt that whisper in which I felt the Lord saying to me, pray the rosary every day. Mm. Because our mother is there for us to help us in prayer, mm-hmm. to help us overall. And your thoughts about the power of the rosary and the Blessed Mother as part of our prayer journey.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Essential. In my life, too, you know, we prayed the rosary, not like every night as a family, but, you know, regularly. And it was something, obviously, that my mom had a wonderful devotion to our Blessed Mother, passed that on to us. And then, you know, joining the Abbey in our Marian devotion as a very strong aspect of our spirituality. Yeah, daily rosary every day and in community, right? And then, of course, you can pray as many rosaries as you want, you know, on your own, in your own free time and prayer time. So it's been the prayer that has been acclaimed and recommended by so many popes and saints. And of course, I know some people, you know, they struggle with the rosary, and I understand that, and that's okay. But for, you know, the opportunity for the meditation on the mysteries, for the connection that it gives us to the events of the Lord's life and our Blessed Mother's, for the power of even just, you know, that rhythmic repetition of the prayers. You still have to think, though, and meditate and think about what you're saying. It's not just kind of robotic. You got to really still put your heart into it. But it really is. And it's a weapon of warfare. You know,
Amen.
This is, you know, the Eucharist and the Rosary. I mean, these are the current weapons of warfare, which will be and have always been most powerful in the attacks against the enemy.
And we're talking about building spiritual muscle.
Yes.
And the rosary is yeah. one of the most important things you can do
yeah.
to help build spiritual muscle. And in order to be a disciple, you have to be disciplined. The one thing the rosary does is allow discipline,
mm-hmm.
which is also very important. Now, one other area, too, I want to cover, something that has touched your life. And as you know, our ministry has taken a major emphasis, and that's Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Amen.
And tell us about that. And
Amen.
Again, you know, this is like 7-8 minutes. You know, it doesn't mm-hmm. take a long time. But why is Divine Mercy so important right now?
Right. Because the effects of sin in our personal lives and in the world are devastating. Let's be honest about that. The problems in the world are not, you know, God is not to blame. Sin is to blame.
Amen.
And sin is our misuse of freedom to make choices which are not compatible with God's law, God's design, God's goodness. And so, I mean, that's where we have to, you know, humbly look at ourselves and say, you know, we are the ones that are at fault and for our own personal sins, right? But the divine mercy is, again, that devotion of encouragement for those who, faced with their own sinfulness and weakness, need the assurance of God's forgiveness, his ability to forgive. He can forgive you, right? Because some people, they doubt that. I don't think God could even forgive me.
Right.
And so that's obviously a deception of the devil. That's the work of the enemy. So no, God can, and he will forgive you too. He wants to forgive you. And so the, you know, divine mercy is meant from the very beginning of the church. You know, the devotion is recent, right? 20th century, St. Faustina. But the reality of divine mercy goes all the way back to the, you know, the cross.
And that you met St. Pope John Paul.
I did, yes.
And who is the... Like the Holy Spirit used them in such a powerful way for divine mercy.
Yeah.
Tell us about that experience very quickly and how it kind of related to divine mercy.
Sure. So it was when I was a student in Rome and I studied for 4 years in Rome. What a beautiful, unbelievable blessing that was, 93 to 97. And I did get the opportunity to be a guest with a bishop who was seeing the Pope during his Ad Limina visit to Rome. And he was able to take a small group of people up to the papal apartment and to have a personal meeting with St. John Paul II. And it was really beautiful. It, you know, it was quick. I have some wonderful pictures that they snap, like right as you shake his hand and bow down to kiss his ring. But just, you know, the look, we made eye contact, like direct, like looked right into my eyes. He like looked right into my soul. And it was just a really beautiful and powerful experience. So the connection, divine mercy, was very instrumental in my own vocation journey and in just my life's journey. I'm half Polish. All of my mother's side, 100% Polish. So there was that connection also to Pope John Paul II. But, you know, being in Rome during those years when he was, I mean, he was really still in his prime. I mean, he was, right. You know, those were amazing years, the mid-90s, to be a theology student in Rome and to be able to attend his masses and his audiences. And then, you know, that one opportunity I had to shake his hand and have him look me in the eye. And he only said one word. He said, premonstratensian, which is the official word for Norbertine. He looked at me and said, premonstratensian.
That's so awesome.
I said, yes, Holy Father. And I wanted to like tell him my whole life story. And I was like, should we sit down? I want to tell you. I'm half Polish. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I eat kielbasa.
Exactly.
I know a few phrases in Polish.
And I love divine mercy, too.
And I love the divine mercy,
yes.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, we've been fortunate and blessed beyond comprehension to have Father Augustine Pugner
with us, Steve.
Talking about faith in today's world. Would you close us out in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift that faith is. We ask you to keep us strong in that faith and help us to grow in our faith, that we may have more trust and confidence in the truth that you have revealed in your Son. May we be certain about the things that faith reveals to us. May we allow that great gift to continue to inspire us. May our faith truly work through charity. May our faith be a living faith. May we exercise and practice and share our faith in any way that we can. And may the prayers of our Blessed Mother also continue to inspire us as we continue to work to build your kingdom here on earth. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, next week is another exciting show with Lauren Lindstrom, who is the co-founder of the Seraphim Project. And the Seraphim Project helps those that have been sexually abused. And there is a particular program conference called Grief to Grace. Now, when Lauren was in here, she's very, very pregnant, expecting any day. So I'm going to ask that all of us pray for Lauren and pray for the baby, a baby girl, and for the safety of mother and child. But you don't want to miss next week's show because it's very, very important that we understand that there is hope for those that have been sexually abused.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. This program is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about our mission, visit spiritfilledhearts.org. That's at spiritfilledhearts.org. And if this podcast has been a blessing to you, please consider partnering with us financially. Your generous gifts are the fuel to keep these powerful podcasts coming to you. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate on the front of the screen. That's spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate. And be sure to tell a friend about our program and encourage them to tune in as well. Until next time, may Almighty God bless you and protect you.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.